Well, greetings to all of you in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome, one and all. Thank you for choosing to be with us this morning and worshiping together with us. I'm grateful that you're here. Thank you, brother, for sharing that opening about Barnabas. I think that is a worthwhile example to follow. His spirit and his gifting and to reach out, touching those that are hurting. And I think that's a rich blessing and something to aspire to. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Maybe we could rise together and we'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning. You're a good God to us. Thank you for your creation, all that you have made. Lord, we see your wonders in all the things that you have made around us. Lord, we sometimes take those things for granted, but we know that you're a good God. We know that you're a loving Father to us. Thank you for sending your Son, your only begotten Son, to redeem us from ourselves and from our sinful nature and from the corruption that is in this world. Lord, we pray that you would just speak to us here this morning and break the bread of life to us. Lord, cause your word to be an inspiration to all of us. Lord, bless each of the fathers here this morning. Pray that you would pour your spirit of grace and power in each one of their hearts, Lord. We need you. We need your presence. We look to you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless all of you, fathers, this morning. Happy Father's Day. It is said that more is made out of Mother's Day than Father's Day. And I don't know that that's all accurate, maybe in our circles here. But may God bless each one of you as fathers here this morning. You know, your job, our job, and responsibilities are noteworthy. I appreciate that our country has placed a day to remember fathers. The efforts and the priorities you place on your children are very important in the molding and shaping of your children. You know, our goal is to prepare our children for life and for eternity. Both. And there are so many things for us to be teaching and training our children in. I don't know if you have a vision for that or not as a father. I'd like to speak to you this morning about some of these things. There are so many things for us to be teaching in our training our children in preparation for life and in preparation for eternity. And I think those two goals should be laying upon our hearts, because I see here this morning, some of you are aspiring fathers. God bless you. Some of you are young fathers. Some of you are in your midlife fathers with teenagers. Your children are still all at home. Some of you are grandpa fathers. I could say it that way. And some of you, all your children are gone. You're empty nesters, but you're still a father. I think those two things are very needful for us as fathers to have a vision for life and for eternity. Happy Father's Day. That's my title this morning. Are you a happy father? I can say I am. I did a little jig this morning in the kitchen because I'm a happy father. I love being a father. It's not always easy, though. And sometimes there's some pretty big challenges in being a father. Do you find it a blessing to serve your family? Yes, I do. Tribute to my dad. I wrote him a note this morning, sent him a poem that I'm going to read at the end of the message here. My dad served us well. He served us well as a family. He taught us the things that we needed in life. Perfect? No, he wasn't a perfect dad. I realize that now. There was a time when I would have said he was in life, but I realize that he's not. But he was a good example. And one of the things that stood out to me that I told him, I said, "You've been a good example in while you're not perfect, you're willing to admit where you're not, where you've messed up. You're willing to admit that. And you've set a good example in humility, coming and saying you're sorry for those things." And those are just good things to chew on as fathers. Where are we at? What kind of a father are you? Has been said that any man can be a father. It's a job that takes very little talent. However, this is just what I read. However, the rate for failure in fatherhood is actually higher than any other occupation. Fathers have an extremely large, full-time job that most underestimate, and maybe we as fathers are underestimating it, the responsibility that God has placed on our shoulder in being a father. It is the most important task a man can tackle. Welcome back, John and Andrea. A nationwide survey was taken as to how much time fathers take with their children. The results were astounding. Fathers with children between the ages of 2 and 12 spend 12 minutes a day with them. This is an average. I wonder how that's working out in our society. 12-minute dads. 12-minute dads contribute to the 12-year-old delinquents. What dad are we? What kind of dad are we? Maybe it depends on how important we view this responsibility. The impact we can have on our children for good, for a lifetime, the opportunities that we have to make a difference in their lives is powerful. I realize that some of us have struggles feeling like we don't reach around. I think that's a fairly common problem with fathers. We feel sometimes we don't reach around. Or we feel we don't know how to be a good dad. That's also a pretty prevalent feeling among fathers. Or we would like to build a better relationship with one or more of our children, but we struggle to know how. And maybe we feel we don't know how because, you know, my dad never did this or that, or we didn't get this or that in life. Is it possible for us as dads to rise above where our parents left off? Sometimes we like to tag our difficulty in fathering back to our dad. And while that affects us, should that hinder us? Or should that make a difference in my fathering my children? Do we need to make the same mistakes? Do we need to follow in the same example? Where he wasn't the kind of dad I needed. Or maybe he was. Is it possible for us to give what we didn't get from our parents? Are we just doomed to fail in the same areas that my parents failed in? What can help us get beyond the things maybe that our fathers missed? How can we be better dads? You see, it's our turn now. Dads, it's our turn. How are we going to do? How well are we going to do? Are our children, or what will our children say when we've passed off the scene about us? It's our turn. How are we doing? And what kind of dad do we want to be? So those were a lot of questions, but it's good for us to ponder those questions. God is the Father of us all. Something that stood out to me this morning, there was prayer made, and what was said right at the beginning of that prayer. What is said at the beginning of your prayers? Our Heavenly Father. Or, O Father. You see, we all have the perfect example. Every one of us. God is the Father of us all. God is the Father of us all. And maybe we struggle because of some of the things that we lacked growing up. Yes, it probably affects us. But we don't have to stay stuck. Because God is the Father of us all. And we can take notes of how he is to us. And change course from the things that maybe our parents left off in. And maybe they weren't the greatest example for us to be following. That doesn't excuse us. And we're not doomed just to make the same mistakes. But we as fathers, we have a Heavenly Father to be our example. So we can learn the things that we didn't get from our earthly father, from our Heavenly Father. So if I could take a few things this morning that we see God doing for his children and help us to apply them as dads by way of an encouragement to us. You know, if you struggle to know how, I'm one that can say you're not alone. I've had to find my way in some of these things, but do a study on the character of God through the Lord Jesus and his time here. Jesus was the expression of who God really is. So the first one we'd like to look at here this morning is love and acceptance. You know, it's not a question whether God loves us. Is it? Is that a question to you, whether God loves you? Some of us struggle sometimes to have faith and believe. But we know it's all over the Word of God that God loves us. Probably the first verse you ever learned. John 3:16, for God, help me say it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should it be a question in our children's minds, fathers, whether we love them? Should that become a question in our children's minds? It's not a question in our minds that God loves us. Why? Because he gave. He gave. You see, that's what love does. He gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God was looking out for our eternity. He was looking out for our eternity. As fathers, do we look out for our children's eternity? Do we love them enough to look out for their eternity? The expression that he gave is the full expression of love. Love gives. Love shares. Love reaches out a kind hand. I appreciate what was shared in the opening about laying that hand on that young struggling soul. You see, that's key in us fathering. Love reaches out a kind hand. Love is a patient teacher. Love answers the wise little children ask. And they go through a stage. Some of my grandchildren are going through that stage. Just about everything is why. Why? And then it's sometimes almost exasperating to us as parents. And we're like, because. Because. Well, I know. Those things are real. But do we love them enough to tell them the whys? Love isn't too proud to say, I was wrong. Love seeks the good of our children. Do your children know that they are loved? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Isn't that a coincidence? John 3:16 and then 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to do what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. If we are to lay down our lives for the brethren, if that's how love looks, if we are to lay down our lives for our brothers, why not for our children? If we love them, why wouldn't we lay down our lives for our children? How do we do that? How do we practically lay down our lives, let's say, for our children. You have any thoughts this morning about that? How do you lay down your life as a father for your children? Can you make it practical for us? What is that? How does that look? Yeah, I'm waiting on an answer. Thank you. Getting up at night, taking care of their need. Talking to your teenagers. That's good. Letting them do a project that might not meet your expectation quite, especially if we're perfectionists, like I am sometimes, and letting them even fail, but then helping them, showing them how to do it. That's good. Anyone else? This is good. How do we lay down our lives? Setting aside special time that I would take for myself, but then you give it to them. It's good. It's good to get your minds going about this subject of laying down our lives for our children. Doing the hard thing. How about that? Doing the hard thing. You know you need to do it. It isn't comfortable for you. I think another one is laying down our lives is paying attention to the children. Giving them the attention they need. Paying attention. What do you and I value more than our children, fathers? What do you and I value more? Now, I'm not saying, what do you think we need to value? I'm saying, what do you value more? It shows up, doesn't it? It shows up in everyday life. Is business more important to you? Is hunting more important to you? Maybe you enjoy your own little private square. When you come home from work, you just kind of enjoy your own private little square with you and your device, maybe. Just naming a few things that tend to snare us as fathers and maybe rob us of what we really could have. Maybe it's the newspaper. Now we have it on our devices. But that's a pretty common thing, isn't it? We like to keep up with the news a little. See what's happening in the world about us. But sometimes we do it to the neglect of our own family. Is making money more value than our children? How about good things like church work? Is that, what level are we placing the value of our children? Think about those things. Love and acceptance. Let's talk about acceptance just a little bit. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. Peter was talking here. And I'm just going to break in on this verse. But he says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Then Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and what? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That good pleasure means delight. Happy Father's Day. God is delighted in his children. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's God. That's God to us, accepted in the beloved, accepted because of Christ Jesus. He's made us children of God because of Christ Jesus. And he has accepted us in the beloved. Was it because of how perfect we were that God accepts us? Sometimes we get this notion in our minds that we have to perform to a certain place before God accepts us. Those are fallacies. It's not that way. Through Christ, we find acceptance in the sight of God, and he accepts us in the beloved. Was it because of how perfect we were? No. Or how well we performed? Again, no. Because there was, maybe we're a certain lineage? The Jews thought so. No. It's not that way. But it's because of Christ Jesus that we're accepted in the beloved. How can we give the same to our children, fathers? Love and acceptance. What are we doing to show our children acceptance? Again, I'm going to open it up. What do we do to show our children that we accept them? There's no trick questions. These are just bare facts. What do we do? What can we do to show our children we accept them? Share affirmation and encouragement. It's good. I'm sorry? Hugs and kisses. Lay aside our ideals, and what was the rest? Laying aside our ideals and ideas and win their hearts. Others. Yes. Sometimes it's not as much as what we do, as what we don't do when they make mistakes, etc. Listen to them when we come home from work, what their day consisted of, and they're wanting to share. Sit behind the newspaper while they talk. No. We listen. Dad's listening with both ears and his eyes. He's listening. Very good. Do you know a smile to your children also shares with them acceptance? How about things like just talking to them? Talking to them like a friend. Be a friend. Shows acceptance of them. And there's many other things we could add to that. Thank you for that input. Love and acceptance. Number two, have compassion. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now, this pity isn't a self-pity type thing, or in a negative way, this pity actually means compassion. As a father hath compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on them that fear him. So a dialogue of the children of Israel is found in Psalm 78. As the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness, God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They found themselves in the wilderness there, and there was no water, and they, you know how it went, all the grumbling and the murmuring and complainings that were going on, and all of that. Psalm 78, verse 40 to 41 says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. That's God. That's the nature of God's compassion. Permeates the nature of God. Compassion doesn't mean that we let sin and wrongdoing slide. God didn't either. Or that we just let our children throw tantrums and do nothing. That's not compassion. Nor does it mean not being firm as a father. But compassion demonstrates itself by gentleness. Compassion demonstrates itself by kindness. It allows our own heart to be touched. What do I mean by that? I remember times of discipline that I was crying with the child that I was disciplining. Because it hurt my heart. It was painful. You know, children need that kind of compassion and tenderness from us as fathers. It was mentioned here about hearing and being a good listener, trying to understand. That should be a part of us as fathers to our children. It's that compassion. It's that trying to understand, hearing really what's going on in my child's heart. Listen to this. The opposite of compassion is being critical. Think about that. Being critical. A person, this is stoic. Stoic is another word for that. The opposite of compassion. Not having compassion. Being critical. Stoic. Here's what stoic means. A person who can endure pain or hardship without showing their feelings. How will that work out in our children's lives if that's us as fathers? You know, they learn from us, don't they? How will that work out? Think about that. Let's move on to number three. We're looking at God and how he is to us and trying to glean some examples for us as fathers. Guidance and direction. All through the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have God giving guidance and direction to his children. Amen? Right here. God, all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament, is giving guidance and direction to his children. It's no different for us as fathers. We're preparing them for what? What are the two things? Life and eternity. You ever think about Leviticus from that standpoint? Leviticus, to most of us, probably is one of those books we'd rather skip or at least read it quickly or do something because it feels like it's so detailed about every little thing, offerings and sacrifices and all these different things. But let's get the heart of God in it. He was giving guidance and direction to his children. Now, Leviticus may not be applicable in every aspect of it to our day, but even cleanliness and things like that are mentioned in this book. Practical things, very practical things. How to deal with your neighbors when their animal gets out and destroys your things. It talks about purity in the book of Leviticus. It talks about abominations. It talks about the blessings of obedience. It talks about the curses when we are not obedient. All practical things. God giving guidance and direction. We can move to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was communicating the heart and will of God. There, again, purity of heart. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. How to go about in mourning. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He talks about the peacemakers there. What to do when we're persecuted. How to pray. How to fast. How to be giving. He talks about where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. He tells us not to be anxious, not to be worried. And he talks about building on a solid rock and how that should look. Guidance, direction, practical teaching. Here's the way to live. Here's how to do relationships. Here's how to walk with God. Here's a question for you children, young or old, if you're still at home. Children, is it okay for your fathers to give you guidance and direction? Is that okay? How well do you receive it in your life? Fathers, let's not shy away from giving guidance and direction to our children. In a practical way, in a way they can understand, we're preparing them for life and for eternity. In giving guidance and direction, there's something that we as fathers tend to neglect. And this thing of giving guidance and direction, know what's going on with your children. Know what's going on with your children. When they're with their friends. When they're at home. Could I put a plug in for this one? What goes on after church? Know where your children are. Know what they're doing. Be involved. That's part of giving guidance and direction to our children. Be involved in their lives. I've been through times when things just weren't quite restful in my heart about where the children's pursuits were going, or things they were maybe getting involved in or doing. What do we do then? This is part of the hard job, dads, is talk about it. Talk about it with your children. Maybe it's their friends. Maybe it's a modesty issue that you've noticed. Maybe things are beginning to change and lending themselves to friendship with the world. We know what that is like from 1 John. Sometimes they're not even wrong things, but maybe they are being overtaken with something. Lacking temperance. You know, God gave direction that we should be what? Temperate in all things. Temperate in all things. I think that's a good balancing factor to those things that you can't just say, well, they're wrong. Temperance. And we as dads do well to communicate our heart and where things will lead. You see, we've been down the road a ways from where our children are. And you children, your dad has been down the road that you're going. He sees a lot of things down the road that maybe you don't see yet. And he's giving guidance and direction. Listen to that with all your heart. Someday you'll understand it. I appreciate, Brant, what you shared. I think that's good. Sometimes we don't understand it in the moment. But as we become older and become fathers ourselves, all of a sudden, things that Dad said begin to connect. We begin to see where these things will lead us. Fathers, are we doing our job in giving guidance and direction to our children? Look for the opportunities. And I'll just say this, it works best, especially with teens, adults, in your home when you're not in the middle of a correction to talk about these things. But rather, look for those opportunities on neutral ground where you can talk and discuss those things. I know it's not always possible, but I think it's still right and good. Let's move on to number four. We have two more to go. Number four. Chastening. Job said this, chapter 5, verse 17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." There's so much we could talk about there. But in verse 6, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Fathers, an expression of love to your child is to use the rod. I don't think we should turn away from that, from Scripture. There's right ways to do it. There's also wrong ways to do it. But the expression that God, whom God loveth, he chasteneth. Verse 8 says, "For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards." What is a bastard? A bastard is considered an illegitimate child. fatherless, it says. We do well as parents to consider these words that God has given us in chastening. Discipline done in a heart of love and compassion, building a relationship, yields good fruits. Yields good fruits. But when the attitude as parents, if the attitude is that, child, you deserve this, punishment done in anger produces hurts and rebellion. And because of some of those things, there is this thought over here on the side that we shouldn't discipline because it damages our children. Not if it's done the way God wants us to do it and the way He does it to us. Chastening. When the attitude is right, it does produce good results. Proverbs 29, verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. That word delight means pleasure. Happy dad, a happy father. He'll give delight unto your soul. Proverbs 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word chasten, it is broader than just the use of the rod. That word chasten simply means reproof, which can be the use of the rod. It can be otherwise. Warning or instruction. All of the above is summed up in that word, chastening. And the last one I have here, number 5. Fathers, never give up. Is there anyone here that God has given up on? I don't think so. Is there anyone outside these walls that God has given up on? I don't think so. I think God has been long-suffering with all of us. In 2 Peter verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can we be this way as dads? Long-suffering. You see, when we just give up, that doesn't yield the fruit we're looking for. Being long-suffering with our children, not willing that any of our children would perish. You know, I know of dads who just lived in the failure in raising their children. They lived there. And they seemed to just give up. I'll tell you what the results are. You've seen it too. Children are in the world. The grandchildren are on drugs. They're divorced. Their life is upside down. Why? It was a father that gave up. Just let her drive. Never give up. Seek to be the best dad you know how to be and learn from God Himself. We don't always get it right. Be humble enough to admit it to your family, to your children, when it wasn't right. I'm glad that my dad didn't give up on me. I was kind of a difficult child, by the way. Looking back, I wish I'd have thought about it when I was in that. But I was kind of a difficult child. But my parents did not give up on me. I'm glad they didn't give up, but kept instilling and kept going. It was little by little. And we need to continue. You know, children don't just get it. It takes an ongoing perseverance for us as fathers to teach and to guide them, to instill within them the principles of God's word, little by little. And we need to continue that love, that acceptance, that guidance, that direction, that correction. And one day, all of our investments in the lives of our children will bring forth good fruit. I'll close with this poem that I sent my father this morning. What is a dad? A dad is patient, helpful, and strong. He is there by your side when things go wrong. He's someone who guides you to do the right thing and helps you solve problems that life sometimes brings. A dad is someone who is loving and kind and usually knows what's going on in your mind. He is someone who listens and makes time to talk. When things are bad, he doesn't turn around and walk. He is a strong shoulder when times are tough, and still loves you dearly when he's had enough. He helps you and guides you all that he can, wanting nothing more than to make you a man. A dad's there when you're happy, and even more when you're sad, giving unconditional love whether you're good or you're bad. A dad is someone that you can also call a friend, who is there no matter what will be to the end. Happy Father's Day.